The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, I want to welcome to the programme Andy Wheeler, who is Professor of Geology at University College Cork. And the reason why we want to speak to one of the top men in UCC is that there is a major debate, regulatory and environmental debate, about carrying out mining under the sea, in the oceans. The requirement is for new minerals that make things like batteries, which are vital for electronic vehicles and for storage of electricity, but also the wind turbines themselves. So if we're to move to a renewable future, we need these certain rare earth minerals, which are available deep in the ocean floor. Welcome to the programme, Andy. Maybe you'd explain what minerals we're talking about.
Hi, Ivan. Yeah, our use of minerals and metals in particular has changed significantly because of the Green Revolution, as you pointed out, demands of the new renewable energy sector, but also changes in microelectronics. So metals like lithium for car batteries and other kind of batteries we're familiar with, but also demands in copper and nickel and cobalt have gone up, as well as rare earth elements, so some sort of strange metals like tellurium, which people may not have heard of, are in much higher demand now for photovoltaic cells. And what we're finding is a lot of these elements are becoming rare on land, or their supply is locked in, let's say, less strategic countries like China. So if we want surety of supply, then we need to look elsewhere. And the deep sea offers an opportunity and also perhaps some conflict.
OK, well, the deep sea is a big place. Are we talking Atlantic, Pacific, particular, you know, seas? Where are we talking about?
We're talking all the oceans on the planet where we find these resources for sure. So they're available in the Atlantic. They're also available in the Pacific. And I think the area that most companies and governments are looking to is what's called the Clarion-Clipperton Zone, which is a very, very large area in the equatorial Pacific where deep sea nodules lie on the seabed. They can be picked up off the seabed, but they're about 6 kilometers down. So it's not easy to get, easy to mine perhaps, but not easy to get to.
So I'm reading a note here that that in terms of these mineral deposits, there are three categories. Maybe you'd talk us through them: crusts, hydrothermal vents, and nodules.
Yeah, that's right. Well, nodules are the ones that the companies are looking at first. And this is where metals precipitate or mineralize to form nodules on the seabed. So a little bit like when you boil your kettle, you get lime scale inside it. If you leave something on the seabed for an extremely long period of time, metals will accumulate as a coating over the top. And so these nodules grow, you know, millimeters per 100,000 years. They're extremely slow growing, and they grow in areas where there's very low sedimentation. And they cover large areas of the equatorial Pacific, as I said, but also other places in many oceans around the world. As well as nodules, we can also get crusts forming on top of hard rock. So again, if you have places like extinct submarine volcanoes where there's been very little sedimentation and rock has been exposed to seawater for millions of years, then crusts can accumulate very, very, very slowly. But if we've got hundreds of millions of years, well, tens of millions of years, then we might get crusts that are 10, 20 centimetres thick, and these are highly profitable. Well, we do have active volcanism, particularly down mid-ocean ridges and where there are submarine trenches. Then seawater pumps through these volcanic systems and produces what we call black smokers, where metal sulfides come out of the seabed that have been leached from these volcanic rocks. And when they get quenched by seawater, they form hard metal sulfide deposits and the extinct remnants of these can be mined. So there's lots of resources down there, and it comes to hundreds of billions of euro. The value on the ocean is really extreme, but they are, you know, they are deep, they are fairly inaccessible, and there are impacts of mining, of course, which makes them quite controversial.
Okay, I see the opportunity, and I can imagine in terms of marine habitats that there would be environmental concerns in terms of pollution and noise and disrupting what is a very passive basis. What is the regulatory environment? I see there's an ISA. Who actually will give out the licenses? And in terms of this kind of tug of war between mining developers and environmentalists, what way is it shaping up?
Yeah, so countries own their own seabed up to the edge of the continental crust, and that's designated, extract of those resources is designated by those countries in question. So Japan has experimented with deep sea mining, and a few other countries have as well. Europe has banned it, so there's no deep sea mining on European seabed. However, in international waters, seabed resources are governed by the ISA, the International Seabed Authority, as part of the UN, and you have to apply for licenses to do that. But of course, not all countries have signed up to the ISA. America, China and Russia, I believe, haven't signed up, but most countries have and respect that designation.
All right. Most interesting, and I think a lot of ignorance about the potential of undersea mining. My thanks to Professor of Geology at UCC, Andy Wheeler, with that overview. Still,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.